At it now. Yes, feels good. Good morning, church. I wasn't trying to make you laugh this morning, but it happened. And I first of all have a thank you from Megan for the church. Says I'm grateful for all of you for being there for me for so long. I will forever remember the kindness everyone has shown and do my best to spread that kindness in God's name. The generous $100 will go towards my studies. Thank you, Megan Mills. So I just wanted to, she just wanted to thank all of you for the time that we've had in her life. She's in way at school now. So remember to pray for those of our youth who are away in college. As you know, I keep their pictures in front of me every day to pray for them. And I would encourage you to do that as well. I think probably the college years for our youth are probably the most serious times that they need our prayers because of the, well, as those of you who have been in college know what's going on in our universities and colleges today. And so we need to really lift up our youth who are away at school because they just, first of all, it's the first time they're away. They have to make a lot of decisions on their own. So they need God's wisdom to be able to make good choices. And so pray for our youth. As you've seen in the bulletin, I did have a title before this week. So it was suggested several weeks ago in Sunday school that we do a corporate prayer time before election this year because we do have a critical time in our nation. Our elections are going to be probably the most critical of any time in our lifetime this year. And just so that we have God's wisdom as we go to the ballots this year, as we go to vote. The elders got together this week. We've been lifting it up in prayers. So we got together this week, made a decision we would like to do that. We would like to come together as a body this year. And do a 21-day Daniel fast. Now, it might scare some of you to fast for 21 days. The Daniel fast is not a fast without food. It's just different food than we're probably used to, especially if you're a meat eater, if you do a lot of meat eating, because there's no meat or dairy in a Daniel fast. We can get books. If any of you would like to have a book on the Daniel fast, we'll do that for you. We're not just going to go and buy a whole bunch of books because if you're not going to use them, there's no sense in having the books. You can go online. We've got some papers that we can pass out showing the foods that you can eat on a Daniel fast. And we would like to start that on October the 1st through the 21st. That way it's easy to remember what days you're supposed to be fasting. And the reason that we're doing this is, so a fast, as I understand it, and as we'll see as we get into the scriptures this morning, most of the fasts in the Bible were a time when someone needed an answer from God or when they needed to be close to the Father. So I'm excited, actually, about doing this because I have fasted often in my lifetime with the Lord. If I have big decisions to make, I'll spend some time in fasting just because the fasts that I've done have been like 3-day fasts with no food. I have done a 10-day Daniel fast before. The elders did that when Ben was here. We did that, a 10-day fast for something that was going on with the church. But most of mine have been the simple, just a 3-day fast that the Lord's called me to. And you depend, it without question brings you closer in your relationship with the Father because you have to rely on Him, not on yourself. That's why I've said before when I taught on fasting, if God doesn't call you to a fast, then don't do it because you know how important nourishment is. And to go without nourishment on your own strength is not a good practice. So make sure that God calls you to a fast And we feel as a church, as elders, that this is something that God wants us to do. So that's why we're asking you to join in with this. And as I said, we'll start. Let us know. If anybody wants, just let one of us or Julie know that you would like to have the book. Kathy has a book, and she showed us some of the stuff, because she said she does it every year. She's one of those who's diligent to fast. And I know that I've known Matt McGlott, he always fasted every Sunday because he wanted to make sure that he was speaking for the Lord on Sunday. So he fasted every Sunday. So fasting is something that as I looked at the scriptures on it, it's a time of repentance as well. Most of the fasts that we'll look at this morning are a time of repentance or mourning, of humbling yourself before the Lord. And I've talked to you about humility before, about how we have to be humble. So it's a great time of humility. And that's why I'm excited to do it as a church, because I think that it will really unite us. I mean, it's any time the church does something in one accord, that's when the Spirit moves in the church. And so I'm really excited about this. We're going to begin I was going to start in Matthew 6 today, but I want to actually go to Matthew 4, I believe it is. I didn't write it down, but the Lord just reminded me of it as I was sitting there this morning. This is actually the 40-day fast that Jesus did. He really wants us to start with that. So let's look at chapter 4 of Matthew and beginning at verse 1. It says, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And I have never been called to a 40-day fast. There's several accounts in the Word of 40-day fasts, and this is probably the most, this one and the one with Moses, there's just, as I say, there's quite a few of them. Elijah fasted 40 days. And the thing that amazes me about this, it says, after fasting 40 days, he was hungry. He wasn't hungry during the 40 days, and that's God. Any of you who have fasted can attest to that. God is the only way that we can fast and not become hungry. It's just our bodies become hungry. Mine does after, if I miss a meal, I become hungry. So to go for 40 days with no food would just be, it would be something that would have to be a God thing. But Satan came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it's written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. So in this instance and one or two of the others, I just want to show to you that when you're in a spiritual battle, is a good time to fast, because it will defeat the enemy. If you have something going on in your life, a spiritual battle of any kind, it's a good time to fast. Let's just flip on over to Matthew chapter 6. There's a couple verses here that talk about fasting. And I want to start with, prayer and fasting go together. When you're fasting, you'll notice that you spend a lot of time in prayer and conversation with the Lord. Because, as I said, you're depending on Him for your strength. Because if you go without food very long, you lose your strength. It's just the way our bodies are. So we depend on Him for our strength. But I want to start in verse 9 in chapter 6. I just want to look at the Lord's Prayer here as we begin with this passage in Matthew. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So forgiveness is a very important part of our prayer life. Because we can't be forgiven if we won't forgive. And as I've said before as well, unforgiveness will make you sick. It will cause your body to be weak and sick. So make sure that forgiveness is a big part of your prayer life. And then he says, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. I think that we have to fast as believers. We have to have a time of fasting in our spiritual life. So it's not if you fast, but when you fast. He says, "Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show the men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So when you fast, don't go around looking like a sad sack, but continue to have your smile. And it says put oil on your head. Do the things that you always do when you're fasting. You don't need to look any different, act any different. It's between you and the Lord. And so I want to go to Daniel now. Actually, let's go to Matthew 17. There's one there that I need to look at before we go to Daniel. We'll stay in Matthew while I'm in Matthew, and then we won't have to come back there. Matthew 17, just a couple verses here in Matthew 17, 20 and 21. Almost did 16. Okay, Matthew 17, 20, 21. He replied. Okay, I wanted to go back to 19. So the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" This was the boy that had the demon. They were trying to drive the demon out of this little boy. And he wouldn't come out. And so Jesus told him, "No, bring him to me and I'll take care of it." So he did. He rebuked the evil spirit or the demon, and it came out of the boy. So they came and they said, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, and that's why I said it's a spiritual battle that we have. And that's why fasting is so important for spiritual battles. And this is the reason I said that. And he said, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you." However, it says, "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." And as I told you before, that verse has been taken out of my NIV. I don't know why. It's in my footnotes. I always had a King James or a New King James, so I got my NIV. And I noticed as soon as I read this that day that something's missing there, because I always knew that the final verse there says this doesn't happen unless you pray and fast. You can't fight spiritual battles without prayer and fasting. It's impossible. And that's why I wanted to share these few verses here, just to show you that it's something we have to do, we must do as Christians, is to spend time in fasting. So I don't know how many of you use the NIV, but make sure that when you're reading that you look down at your footnotes there where it says, "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting," because that's how it is originally. I'm not sure why the translators took it out of the NIV, but they did here. But it's down at the bottom there in the footnotes. So just remember that verse there is probably the most important of this whole passage. Now let's go to Daniel chapter. I want to start in Daniel 1. Daniel 1 is, the fast is on, not until Daniel 10, but we're going to look at the beginning first. I want you to get an idea of what kind of man Daniel was. Just a godly man, and the men who were with him there, and just paint you a little bit of a picture of what's going on here in Daniel. So let's just start with verse 1, Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. And these he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. So the Israelites have been carried off to Babylon. Another king, Nebuchadnezzar, came from Babylon to Jerusalem, besieged it and took some of the people and took the people away and took stuff out of the treasury and put them in his temple. And says, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, and young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. So this was young Israelites in training. They were spending a training time so that they could serve the king. And you'll see that Daniel was one of these men. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So these four young men were chosen to be trained for the king because of the type of men they were. They were standout men. So they gave them new names. I'm not going to try to pronounce all those. If you want to, you can. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please, test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge, understanding, and all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And so I'm going to just stop there. But that really describes Daniel and the other three men that were with him. They were, like I said, they were young men of God. They loved the Lord, and they wanted to do what was right. And so they didn't want to defile themselves with the food from the king. And so let's turn over now to Daniel 10. This is actually where the Daniel 21-day fast comes from, in Daniel 10. I want to begin in verse 11 of 10. So Daniel had a vision. Here's what happened. He was in his vision came to him there in verse 1, I think it says, yes. So in verse 11 it says, he said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." So this is like an angel of God that came to Daniel and was corresponding and talking to him here in his vision. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, to humble yourself before your God, I came in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." So he's telling Daniel what's going on here. And I thought it was interesting that when Daniel started having the vision, that this guy shows him here that for 21 days there was a spiritual battle going on. And someone was trying to detain him from getting there to minister to Daniel. And this was during the time that Daniel was fasting. It says, "Now I have come to explain to you," I'm in verse 14 now, "explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe.' Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace, be strong now, be strong.' When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.' So he said, 'Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the princes of Persia, or the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him." So this was where the 21-day fast comes from. Daniel was there having that vision, and they had to spend 21 days in fasting and in prayer to God. And God brought him through the spiritual battle that he was in there. And I want to go to Esther as well. As I was talking to the Lord and just trying to figure out what to bring today, what to share with you, he said to go to Esther and look at the... So most of you know the story of Esther and how that she was a virgin who the king asked... where's it at? Esther, Nehemiah. There we're coming. That's after Nehemiah, okay. Esther, Nehemiah, Esther, then Job. Okay. I'm getting it. Everybody, hang on a minute. Let's look at Esther 4. So Esther she was made queen because this was the one where Queen Vashti was deposed and they needed a new queen. So Esther was a Jewish girl and she was made queen. Mordecai is her, I think, her uncle. Am I right there? Anybody know more of that than I do? And he was having a problem there because Haman wanted to put him on the gallows and he wanted to destroy all of the Jewish people. So I'm just kind of paraphrasing coming up to this and what's going on in their kingdom here. And in chapter 4, let's begin in verse 1. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And when Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress, and she sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend to her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai so and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay into royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her, and he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said, and then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials, all the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death." So she was afraid for her life because he was asking her to go into the king without permission to plead for mercy for the Jews because they were going to annihilate the Jews. They were supposed to kill all of them. And so that's what's happening. She's afraid. And it says the only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. So it's been a month since she's been with to see the king. She doesn't really want to go because she's afraid that he won't accept her. And So when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish, and who knows but what that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do, and when this is done, then I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. So, because of such a crisis, Esther called for a fast. She called and told Mordecai, she said, "Let everybody know that they need to fast for 3 days, because I'm not going to go into the king until after the fast." It was a critical time, and that was a spiritual battle going on, and she knew that they had to spend some time with the father before she could go in with the king. And you all know the rest of the story, that she went in, everything got reversed, the Jews were spared. I'm not going to go through the rest of the chapter, but if you want a good story, go in and read the rest of it. It's just a really good account of a fast that worked, a fast that was done for God's people, and how they overcame the obstacle that was in front of them. And so that's why we've called you to a fast, guys, because fasts work. We did a corporate fast this time because we feel it's that important that we all get out and do our part for our nation. We're encouraging Christians everywhere to get off the fence. There's a lot of Christians that don't vote, and it's not a good thing because they're claiming that 50% of Christians don't vote in America. So you can see what a difference that would make in elections if godly people would get to the polls and do their voting. But it's important that we know who to vote for, guys. Without God's leading, without His direction, we don't have any idea who to vote for. But He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us knowledge. And I didn't look up the verse, but there's a verse in Proverbs that says, "If you ask for wisdom, He will give it to you." And to seek wisdom, we've been going through Proverbs in Sunday school, and it's been such a good time together. And wisdom is just something that we have to look for, like we're looking for a treasure. It says, "Look for wisdom as if it's a treasure, if it's the best thing you could seek, because it's actually better than money. To be wise, have knowledge. Without knowledge, we can't know how to vote." So I'll put this thank you over on the board over here if any of you want to read it. But as I said, remember to pray for our teens that are in school, that are going to college, and high school as well. Pray for all of our young ones, but especially for those who are in college. If any of you have prayer needs this morning, we'll be here. Jamie, come and bring us a final song as we close up. If you have prayer and you need prayer, the elders will be here to pray with you. And please, if you would like the book, let us know, because otherwise we're not just going to go out and order a bunch of books on the Daniel fast, because it's something that you can get online. But if you would like to have a book, that's something the church will get for you. We'll go from there. Thank you.